Okay, we turn back to chapter 27, yeah? Chapter 27, we look at the last section, verse 41, again. Now, we look. Please read verse 42 now. And the word of Esau, the oldest son, was told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, the younger son, and said to him, "Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you." It's like, you know, he was out of his mind, okay? He was, he really was, okay? He really was. Okay, he really was. So it's like he thought that, you know, by killing his brother, you know, then things would resolve, you know, nicely. Well, actually, you'll find that this would bring even more misery to the family, okay, and more problems, you know, to the family. Okay. Now here again, yeah, the mother came out with an idea, saying to Jacob that he should go to, you know, her brother's house, right? Now, verse 45, as she said, last part, "Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?" Right? Now, it seems that what Esau said, yeah, was not just a moment of madness, okay? But the words were not spoken just in a moment of madness. It's like he has this intention, and he was very firm to carry out what was in his mind. That's why, you know, for that reason, you know, he had to escape. Now, we come to chapter 28 now. Right? Now, the first part is about Isaac, yeah? Sending Jacob away. Now, look at the blessing again, yeah? Especially in verse 4. "And give you the blessing of Abraham." What is the blessing of Abraham? What is the blessing of Abraham? Yes, inheritance, isn't it? Yeah, elections. It's true. Okay? Now, you find that if the blessing of the firstborn is the same as the blessing of election, then it's like, you know, Jacob should have mentioned it in the first time when he blessed Jacob after he had what? Given him the food to eat. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, when you compare these two parts of the scriptures, you find that they are very different to one another. They are not the same. Right? They are two different things. Is that clear? Right? Now, that's why class is so important, yeah? For us sometimes to read the Bible very carefully so that we know the facts very well. And one of the reasons for doing that is to help ourselves understand the scriptures better. The other reason is to help ourselves, you know, to develop a correct line of thinking. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes we find a misconception can creep into our mind because we have not read the Bible correctly. You get what I'm saying? Then obviously, you know, we can talk more about this, yeah, if we have time, all right? Now, you find that this incorrect mindset has a lot to do with, you know, the heart of a person. And if you are a God-fearing person, if you are a humble person, a submissive person, then surely you will tell yourself that every time, each time when I read the Bible, I have to make sure that I will not go overbound or exceed the boundary of the scriptures. That is the basic. Put it this way, this is the basic requirements for someone to study the Bible. Okay? Now, I read the Bible not because I want to discover something new to impress the church, or to be different from the rest, or even to be someone who stands out, yeah, in the community of faith. You get what I'm saying? Right? You find that in the church, yeah, sometimes there are people who try to show off, you know, thinking that, you know, by stating, you know, something different from the tradition or traditional belief, then it's like that will be deemed, you know, different. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Right? We study the Bible because we want to be taught by the Bible. We want to hold on to the Word of God so that eventually we can be saved. That should be our objective in studying the Word of God. Right? Okay, never mind. We come back. Don't sidetrack too much. Yeah? Right. After that, if you look at verse 6 to verse 9, this Esau continued to marry many more wives. Okay. He went to where? Went to Ishmael. Went to Ishmael. Yeah? That is the half brother of his father, Isaac. Okay. Now, you know, in the ancient time, it's like, you know, what do you call that? Polygamy is like allowable, right? Like you allow to marry to many wives. But you can find that conflict in the family became inevitable when you later on, when you look at the life, I mean, the family of Jacob. Confusion totally is in a utter mess. You know what I'm saying? And so the initial intention of God is still the best. One man, one wife. Okay? That is the will of God. Okay? Now, obviously, in the New Testament, you find that, you know, having more than one wife or one husband is a very serious offense against God. The Bible says it's against the body of Christ. It's against, you know, the will of God. It's a fatal offense. Okay, now we read on verse 10. Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about these questions. You know, when Jacob was on the run, and then this vision of, you know, God's will, which is mentioned in John as well, that being revealed to him, right? Because he saw a ladder which was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, right? Now, and the angel of God were ascending and descending on it. And this is actually picked up by who? By John, in the Gospel of John. Is that not so? Which chapter is that? Which chapter is that? Hello? Which chapter is that?
Hey, yeah.
John, yeah? Chapter 1? Is it not chapter 1? Okay, now we look at verse 51, yeah? And he said to him, "Most assuredly I said to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angel of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Okay, now by putting these two verses together, it seems that, yeah, you know, Genesis is suggesting that, you know, the vision that, who's that? Jacob saw actually is about the coming of Christ. Right, so this ladder, how do you spell it? L-A-D-D-E-R. Hallelujah. It's actually the Son of Man, yeah? Okay, so it's like saying that, yeah, from man, from this point here, to reach heaven, require to what? To climb on this ladder. Yeah? Meaning, only through Jesus, then you go to heaven. Now, the question is, why reveal to Jacob, yeah, when he was on the run? That's my question. Okay. Okay. Now we'll think about this later. Now I want to continue with this first. Yeah? Now we know that it's only through Jesus, yeah, that we go to heaven.
Now, what does it mean? And this is mentioned in the context of John 14, verse 6. Yeah? Now, what about us who are in Christ Jesus? Actually, Paul also mentioned a similar idea, but in greater detail.
Right, I want to read the Ephesians. I want you to read Ephesians.
That's it.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 2. We read verse 18, yeah? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Now, for through Him, meaning through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father, okay? Now, you find that even though we have to go through Jesus, no doubt about it, yes, through Jesus, but there is a hidden element which is not mentioned here, but is expounded by Paul, saying that it's by the one what? One Spirit. Okay? Now, so meaning if our life is not in contact with this one Spirit, even though we believe in Jesus, then you find that we cannot go to heaven. You get what I'm saying now? Hey, this is the basic belief of the church. Hello? I'm talking to a group of people who... I better go to sleep. Okay, is that clear? Yeah? So, no doubt Jesus came to this world to save us. Yeah? Now, more crucially, you know that this path, this ladder, cannot be reached by mere believing without action, without knowing exactly how we can climb on this ladder. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now, that's why the world, you know, especially the Christian world, is a bit confused now, because people say, as long as you believe in Jesus, then you reach there. Is that true? No. But what did Paul said? By... Now, so when you look at this in the context of the Bible, obviously, the epistles of Paul, yeah? So this one Spirit performed a very important function. Now, what does the Spirit do? The Spirit baptizes us into the one body. And this one body is actually the body of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So, meaning, without going through this body of Christ, we cannot reach heaven. And this body of Christ is a body with the presence of the one Spirit. I don't think you understand what I'm talking about. Everyone's staring at me blank. Even though I use different colors, you know, trying to impress in your mind, imprint in your mind, but to no avail. Okay, forget it. You understand? That's the idea, okay? Now we come back to the crucial question. Why did God reveal to Jacob, not Isaac, not Abraham? Okay, now we understand, yeah? When, as the history of the chosen people, you know, continue to develop, we know that Jacob eventually represent what? His name was changed to what?
Israel.
Israel represent what? The nation of God, isn't it? Yeah? Nation of God, yeah? So it's a community. Okay? And it's no longer just an individual person.
Okay.
Now, so it was like saying that, okay, that in the future, for the community of God to reach heaven, then what happened? Must climb on this
ladder.
You get what I'm saying now? Right?
It's not just for one person, actually it's for a group of people, nations of God, yeah? Okay. Now, so you find that in in the book of Genesis, yeah? The will of God or the plan of God is being unfolded bit by bit, yeah, through what? Through the encounters of His people in difficult circumstances in life.
Bit by bit. I'm clear. Never mind. You scare you. I close my eyes. All right, we'll come back. Now, I'm going to read verse 13. Yeah? And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Now, this is like to confirm, yeah, to Jacob that he has been chosen by God to inherit what? This line of promise. Okay? This line of promise. Or this line of election. This is a confirmation through you, and later on your children, right? And the community of God at large shall come to what? Believe in Jesus, and obviously through this you shall go where? You shall go to heaven. Right? That is the idea. Okay. Now, I'm going to look at the... Where is it? Okay, now verse 14. Yeah? Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and in you and in your seed all the family of the earth shall be blessed. Now, here again it says what? In your seed. Huh? Now, I forgot to mention to you, in your seed. It's first mentioned in who? Abraham, isn't it? Yeah? And then, does the Bible mention in your seed when God was talking to Isaac? But it seems that this one is mentioned to who? Jacob, isn't it?
I forgot to mention him. Okay,
let's find it.
Where is it? Chapter... Did God ever said to Isaac that in your seed... Did God ever say that? Say to Isaac.
Yes.
Where?
Verse
4. Yep. Chapter 26. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, is verse 4 talking about what God has said to Abraham? Or is verse 4 talking about God talking to, it's like the promise has been passed to Isaac? Which is which? I think it's to Isaac as well. Okay, to Isaac. Okay, now,
so this is the reasoning here. So I actually is to reaffirm, yeah, God's promises. Right? But when God after Abraham offered to God, yeah, Isaac, then he said, "In your seed,
Meaning, the seed here we refer obviously to Jesus, yeah? As we have studied in Galatians, and this is mentioned in chapter 22, verse what? 16 or 18? Okay. Now, and later on, this is also mentioned in chapter 26, verse 4, and then chapter 28, verse 14. Okay. Now, so you find that when God said to Isaac, "In your seed," yeah, what? The family of the earth shall be blessed. Meaning, this seed here, Jesus, must also come from Isaac. Okay, now likewise, when God said, "In your seed," yeah, to Jacob, means that Jesus will come from Jacob. So, this is how it passed down. Abraham, and then what? Isaac, and then Jacob. Okay, and you find that this is the chosen of God. Now, just to illustrate a bit more here. Now, when you look at the chosen of God on Abraham, he distinguished him from his his world, how can I put it? His environment, okay? By asking him to leave the place, yeah? Now, here, Isaac, you find that God chose him, yeah, from among so many sons of Abraham. You get what I'm saying? Yeah? Now, how can I put it? This one is like, Isaac is the only son of Sarah. You see the half-brother, half-sister, yeah? But this one is twin. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, so you find that it's like the chosen of God is getting more and more fine line in a way. Yeah? From a very huge one, and it's gradually it narrows down. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, it all goes to show that this is the power of God in choosing. No one can have any influence over the choosing of God. You get what I'm saying now? So I think we need to how can I put it now? Now, okay. Now, if you look at this, yeah, very carefully, okay. You know, for Abraham, he lived in a world of idolatry. Okay. Now, it's just like saying that here is we and the outside world, okay? We and the outside world. Alright? In general. And here, Isaac here is like and we and other Christian churches. Isn't it? I've shown you already. And this one is what? We within the community. Right, now the important point is this, yeah? Now, why is Esau, it seems like God has removed Esau, actually it's not. Yeah? If he stayed faithful, he could still remain, you know, under the line of Jacob. Okay, now the important thing is that within the community of faith, what we need to do is to keep the commandments of God. You understand what I'm saying now? So anyone who does not keep the commandments will be removed. That's why the Bible describes Esau as a profane person, a godless person. A person within the community, yeah, within a close family, has fallen out of the grace of God.
You get what I'm saying now? Right?
So, if you want the idea, I can't paint it very clearly, but this is roughly the idea. Is it clear?
Okay, come back. Now, we look at verse 17. Now, and he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." Right. Now, so he decided that, you know, and he said to himself that one day he would come back, you know, to this place, and which he really did. When you look at what, after 21 or 20 years of working for who? For his uncle, Laban. Yeah? And finally, he returned to Bethel, right? To where God asked him to. Right? Okay, so this is chapter 28. Okay, how can I put it? That's it. Okay, chapter 29, love story begins. I know this one will interest a lot of people. Okay, so he went to where? He went to his uncle's house, Laban, and he happened to meet what? To meet who is that? Do you think Rachel was? I'm not talking about your sister. Do you think Rachel was a good person? Not you, please. You think Rachel was a good lady? She must be good.
Beautiful is not equal to good, okay?
That's why I said
equal to good. Not equal. Was she a good lady?
No.
No, huh? No. Do you agree? You don't agree? So in your mind, she's always good. Are you doing law?
No.
You can be a public debater. What, was she a good lady? Was she a good lady? Hello, class. I'm asking you a question. Was she a good lady? Not sure. Hey, 她怎么样？她好不好？ Jimmy, Victoria, how about? Wow. So for Michael, she is good because she was beautiful. That's the problem. Eh? Michael, I know you now. Now everyone knows Michael. You like it, don't you? This one? Okay, now we go on, yeah? So obviously, you know, Jacob eventually met his uncle. Yeah? Okay. Now, There are verses that I want you to bear in mind now. Mark them clearly or highlight them, whatever, okay? Now, chapter 29, verse 14, yeah, and see what Laban said to Jacob. And Laban said to him, "Surely you are my bone, my flesh." And he stayed with him for a month. Oh, so sweet. He was a sweet talker. You know, a guy with a silver tongue can even talk the bird down from the tree. What's that? Silver tongue. You know what that is? Meaning a guy who is very good with words. Very persuasive, very what? Charismatic, very charming. Yeah? This guy? Eric, I didn't know that. You were quiet all the time in London Church. I didn't know that you are... No. Okay, so you find that this guy is a... You know, you can imagine if you were Jacob, yeah, you was running away from your brother, and you didn't know where you are really heading to, because he had never been there before. Okay, you can imagine when you see your uncle, "Don't worry, my bone and my flesh." And straight away, what, fall for him already? You get what I'm saying? Right, that kind of. You know, charm or whatever you call it, but he's a cheat. Anyway. Alright, now, look at verse 15. So, this is the life of Jacob under the house of Laban. Okay, now, under the roof of Laban. Look at verse 16, verse 17. Yes, it's mentioned by Michael. Okay. Leah's eyes were delicate, means small, okay? But Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Again, when you look at the wife of Abraham, the wife of Isaac, and the wife of Jacob, they were all very beautiful. Okay, but were they good? I'm not sure, really. Apart from Sarah, because the New Testament scriptures talks about her. Apart from Sarah, I'm not too sure about Rebecca. Rebecca, she caused the splitting up of the family. So sad. And Rachel, when you look on later on, you see that she fought with her sister. Okay, never mind. Now, I want you to look at verse 18. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel's, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man." Now, verse 20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and there seemed only a few days. So when you are in love, everything seemed to be very sweet and quick. Is it also? Is any one of you here in love? None of you is in love? Well, this chapter is talking about marriage, what can I say? Okay. How many of you are in love? Be honest, though. How many of you are in love? Don't pretend. You know I can see you. By looking at you, I know. No. Cheeky guy. Okay, come back. Now, so you find out, you know, how do you define love? Okay. There are different layers of love. Now, obviously, some people say if you want to define love, then you need to look into the concept of the Greek concept of love. Forget it. Now, I think there are different layers. One is what? What do you call that? Puppy love? You know Papila?
Yeah. Yeah. You infatuate. Okay, after maybe first day, you know, or for a period of 10 days, let's say here in YTTC, you see someone whom you love so much, and you infatuate for 21 days. After that, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
Forget it. Okay, that's puppy love. You understand what I'm saying? It's non-lasting. Okay?
Now, the other one is obviously, we say it's love between husband and wife. Yeah? And then the other type is love in the family, like love, parental love towards the children. Okay? And obviously the other one is between among siblings or whatever. There are different type of love you look at.
The next few chapters. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now,
first what I'm trying to tell you is, whether you are here, whatever. Now the important thing is, yeah, you must not be, how can I say, you must not be absorbed by the situation. Okay? You must not be dragged into it, yeah, and to a point that you find it very difficult to disentangle yourself. Right? Now just like the relationship thing I've told you about, there are different set of relationships, is it not true? Yeah? And same here with love. This thing is very tricky, you know. Okay, if you remove the divine element, right, then you find that this thing is very tricky. Right? Now, so that's why we said, yeah, the Bible says we love, if we talk about love, then it has to be on the premise of the truth. Okay? Now, with the truth, then when you talk about love, then your love survives.
You get what I'm saying?
Right? Now, probably you will remove this. You will not go through this this too much. Obviously, sometimes I feel that this is unavoidable because this is part of the growing up. Right? You fall for someone.
You cannot sleep, that kind of thing.
When you see someone, you cannot sleep. But Michael, he has been through so many times already. Okay. Okay, class, listen. Now, so the important thing is you need this, okay, to guide you, to shape your thinking.
Very, very important.
Okay? So without the truth, you can just become like people of the world. You do anything you want.
You understand what I'm saying?
Then the consequence is you will suffer.
You will suffer.
Right? So for us, we are different because we have this. Now, so you even talk about your love for what? For the Gentiles, for the poor, for the sick, for the unfortunate, whatever. Okay, so there are so many impacts. But all this have to be based upon the truth. You get what I'm saying? So if someone comes to you and say that love is more important than truth, then that is a lie. That is, to me, that is a trick of Satan. Without the truth, how can you love correctly? Yeah, you can be overwhelmed by love. The so-called love.
You know, I...
Some people who do not know God, they said, what? Love is like a window. I don't know what it means. And some people say, love is like an open door. Neither do I know what it means. Alright?
It's a window. It's an open door. Very funny, huh? Okay. Class, for those... Excuse me, I know it's busy.
Listen.
Hello. Can I do the talking? Thank you.
Okay. For those who have fallen out of love, it's like, you know, it's like a window with a curtain, yeah, with a blind. And, you know, for those who have fallen out of love, it's like a shut door, it's not an open door anymore. But this is how they define love, based on their emotion, their impulses. But for us Christian, it's different.
Yeah, that's what we need. You know, even when we talk about the truth of marriage, we always encourage the youngsters, even those who are married, yeah, must abide by the principle of marriage. Okay? Now, if we hold on to this, then surely we will be blessed. Okay? Now, so in whatever we do, even when you want to show your emotion to me, you know, if you just look at love itself, it's a kind of expression within. You want to show your emotion. Right? Now, very important is that this love here, your emotion, before it's shown out, it has to be directed by the
If you like someone, it's unavoidable. It's part of growing up, like what I said. But you need to.
If you don't like anyone, then you're abnormal. Okay. Now, okay, we come back to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Falling in love and can also what? The person who is falling in love, you know, can also fall out of love. Is it not true? Have you ever fallen out of love? This class is full of pretenses. I know nothing. Okay, never mind. Chapter 29, yeah? So, here you find that this is the first account that Laban deceived what? Deceived Jacob. Instead of giving Rachel to Jacob, he what? He gave his firstborn daughter to Jacob, Leah. And you find that Jacob is like saying, no, no problem. That's why he served for another 7 years. Okay, we look at verse 20. Yeah? And so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and there seemed only a few days. And sorry. What is it? Where is it? Verse 29 and verse 30. Yeah? Verse 30, then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban still another 7 years. Okay, this is where the confusion began. So, and you find that whatever God has ordained is always the best. One man, one wife. So we must always stay faithful. If in the future, if you are married, you must always stay faithful to your spouse. One man, one wife. Okay. We say a silent prayer. Amen. One more to go.